The rabbis say, Hafochba v'hafochba d'chuleba, which means, turn the Torah over and over, you'll find everything in it. But I'm here to tell you this morning, sadly, the rabbis are wrong. There's a big area of our life, something that we are engaged in virtually every day, something I would bet many of you have thought about this morning, read about this morning, anticipate this afternoon, and I can't find it in the Torah. I thought of it when I realized that when Pinchas in this morning's Torah portion kills these people with a strike of his spear, that he must have been very good with a spear. After all, we've seen enough movies to know that you can't just casually kill somebody, not realistically. It takes some skill, some training, some athleticism, some ability. And so I thought, where are sports in the Torah? Think how much time people in our society and our community spend on sports, and yet I can't find it. So I did what rabbis do when they wonder something about the Torah. I'm loath to tell you this because this is sort of giving away a trade secret, making rabbis even more dispensable than they already are. But I decided I wanted to know if sports were mentioned in the Torah, so I Googled sports and Torah. And I got jokes. Where is tennis mentioned in the Torah? When Joseph served in Pharaoh's court. Where is baseball mentioned in the big inning? Hey, I am only the messenger. There were some others, but I will spare you. And so I began to think, are there actually mentions of sport in the Torah, and what does that mean? And the truth is that virtually every mention, in one way or another, is connected with warfare. So, for example, we read of Esau, who was a hunter. Clearly a big, strong, brawny man, but it was for hunting. And by the way, in case you're wondering about Judaism and hunting, just as a little aside, there was a famous rabbi, actually, in the 1800s, the Nodeb Yehuda Ezekiel Landau, and he was asked once about hunting. Is it permissible for a Jew to hunt? And he went through a long and very famous tshuva, a responsum, in which he went through all the sources about hunting. And he concludes as follows. Judaism, he says, according to Jewish law, does not prohibit you from hunting, but, he says, I can't imagine why any Jew would ever want to. There's a story of Asahel in the book of Samuel, who runs after Avner to kill him for reasons that we don't have to worry about now. And Avner's running away from him, and Avner yells back to him, don't do this. Please go back. Don't run after me. It won't be good for you. But Asahel catches up with him, and Avner kills him. So we know that there were people in the ancient world who ran too fast for their own good. But short of that, a verse in Isaiah that says, those who believe in the Lord shall run and not be weary, which was the verse, by the way, that was printed on all the rabbinical school jogging team t-shirts. And that, too, was proved mistaken by the tired and sweaty rabbinical students who had shirts that said, we will not be weary, and staggered into the dining hall screaming for water. There's nothing there. And this actually highlights a serious division in Jewish history. Most of us know of Jews in sports, but the truth is more what they've written than what they've done. I remember years ago the beautiful book, The Boys of Summer, written by Roger Kahn, one of the great sports writers of the modern age. But you could read Roger Kahn and know how beautifully a Jew could write about baseball, and still, short of a few, notably, of course, in this city, Sandy Koufax, scour the records for baseball players, or football players, or basketball players, and come up pretty empty. Yeah, we had our Nat Holmans and our Sid Luckmans, our Sean Greens, our Sidney Koufaxes, our Mark Spitzes, but if you'll notice, in the modern era, much more. In the ancient world, Jews didn't have an Olympics. And one of the reasons that that seems to be so, that we have a long period of Jewish history in which the body was in some way discarded and put aside, in which the cultivation of the mind, of books, of ideas, of debate, of argument, but not of running and jumping and lifting and throwing, was so powerful, tells us something really important about Judaism and Jewish history. Pinsker, who was one of the early Zionist theorists, said, "Without a land, Jews were like a people without a body." And if you want to see that in action, he said, look at Jewish history. You had, for generations, people who would study and who would learn and who would develop their minds, but it was as if they were bodiless. And once, he said, we return to the land of Israel, Jews will not only rediscover their land, but they will rediscover their bodies. And if you think about it, what is the Olympics in Israel called? The Maccabiah. The Maccabees were around when Israel had a land. We had to reach all the way back to biblical times to find Jews that had bodies. Exactly. And that notion that, in fact, the physicality of a person is essential is actually, if you think about it, really very much a part of our tradition. And if we forget about sports as a specific activity and think of it as a celebration of the human body, which is what it is after all. When you watch a magnificent sports performance, what are you saying? Look at the remarkable things a human body can do. The way it can run or throw or catch or shoot or dunk. It's an amazing thing to see a trained and gifted body in performance. When you say that in the Jewish tradition, you are saying the same thing that Hillel said in the Talmud. Someone said to him, "Where are you going?" And he said, "I'm on my way to perform a mitzvah." They said, "Where?" He said, "To go wash." Because the care of the body is also praise of God. The pleasures of the body are a tribute to God. Af bisari yishkon levetach. Even my flesh will feel God's comfort. There is a physical sense when you are surrounded by community, not just an intellectual sense. There are movements in prayer because you pray with your body, not only with your mouth or with your mind. Some of our most profound experiences are not intellectual experiences. I have asked this of congregations before, but you want to try an experiment? Here's an experiment. Think of what it will feel like to touch the hand of the person sitting next to you. Just imagine what it will feel like. Now, touch their hand. The experience of the body is more vivid and palpable and immediate and powerful than any imagining. That's why when a Jew dies, according to Jewish law, you're not allowed to cremate that body. Because the body is holy too. It's given by God. It's what we are resident in this world. It has its own integrity and its own power and is its own blessing. That truth is easily elided or ignored or escaped. We think of sports and things of the body as essentially trivial because we know in the Jewish tradition what really matters. But among other things, there's virtually no mitzvah that you can perform without a body. Remember that according to the rabbis, when Moses went up the mountain to receive the Torah, the angels didn't want to give it to him. But he said, "You don't need a Torah up there. We need it down here. Because we're the ones who are actors in the world. We do things, and we do things with our physicality, with our bodies." So when it's true, our children worship sports heroes, many of whom, how do I put this delicately, are unworthy of their worship. The part that venerates the remarkable ability, that's not frivolous. That's not empty, and that's not foolish. To understand that a body is a gift, and that to care for it and train it and to see it do remarkable things is in its way a prayer, that's a powerful reality. So even though you can't find sports and Torah on Google, or at least not with a quick search, the underlying reality you can find. Remember, when God creates Adam, God first forms Adam of clay, and then, according to the Torah, v'yipach ba'apav nishmat chayim, he breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. Which means that in the mythic story of the beginning of humanity, you start with the body. First, God took the clay, and then breathed in the spirit. Our bodies matter. And in the modern age, after the long wandering in which we cultivated our minds, it is neither pagan nor foolish to understand that care of the body, appreciation of the body, amazement at its functions and abilities, attempts to shore it up and make it better, that these are religious activities. All those Jews who went into medicine, we understood there was something fundamentally religious about that activity. And it's true. Not just pikuach nefesh, not just saving a life, because after all, most of medicine isn't about saving your life. Most of it is about sustaining, repairing, maintaining your health. In other words, the integrity of the body. So there you have it. The next time you go to a game, or you cheer, and you think, is there anything Jewish about this? The answer is yes. And not only if you're rooting for Philadelphia. I mean across the board. There is something fundamentally Jewish about thanking God that we are given bodies. And I'll close with this. You may or may not believe in resurrection of the dead. It's a hard thing to believe in, I grant you. But you know that our tradition does talk about it, and in fact, you said it this morning if you prayed the Amidah when it says, Michaye HaMetim, who resurrects the dead. Understand that if the tradition teaches that at the end of time, in the perfect world, you will be resurrected, what is it telling you? That in a perfect world, you won't be a disembodied spirit. You won't be a soul flying through the ether. What will you have? You'll have a body. That having a body is not in this very critical Jewish promise. It's not an ethereal, fallible, and frivolous thing. Your body in resurrection is promised to you forever. And though, I grant, you may not have it then, that promise may not come to pass, you've got it now. So all of us not only can think and speak, but we can feel, we can touch, we can walk, we can run, we can hear, we can see. We have bodies. Thank God. Shabbat Shalom.